Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, it's time for another episode of our podcast, Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. Today we're talking about converting shoppers into buyers and what it takes to craft a story that helps to compel that transition.
Hi there, I'm Hazel Fruitman.
And I'm Kim Stewart.
Welcome to another episode of the podcast, and today we are talking about the smartest ways you can employ to turn shoppers into buyers.
That's right. If you're in the business of selling things, whether it's a product or a service, you have probably heard at least, I don't know, a million times, that having a good story is what makes the difference in whether or not people actually buy what you're trying to sell them.
After all, everyone loves a good story.
Indeed. And, you know, I think, Hayes, maybe before we get going today, let's take a few minutes and tell a little bit of our story. So we have a mobile ads platform called mobilewalletmarketer.com. It is a super useful tool for engaging with prospects, clients, referrals, and the like. It's a way to communicate via a mobile device at the time and the place that is going to best help you to advance your story, you know, get it out there for more people to hear and appreciate.
And we've done a lot of podcast episodes over the years, and they range in topic from how to set up your real estate business, to use mobile notifications at open houses, to discussing the nuts and bolts of how our customers are using mobile to up their sales, get more clients, and convert those clients into larger tickets and more repeat business.
Okay, well, some of the better episodes, if you're going to go back in the archives, that I would include, episode 72, at least in my mind, where we explain how to use emojis, strangely enough, as part of your mobile notifications in order to attract more attention and engagement from your messages. That's a good one. I also like episode 42. That's kind of a oldie but a goodie. It's super popular. It's called Why Mobile Works. You know, that one really resonates as sort of a good overall explanation of what you want to do in order to create and deploy what I would consider to be a well-thought-out mobile strategy.
And speaking of mobile strategies and their results, I like episode 24, Three Common Mistakes in Developing a Mobile Strategy. It's good sometimes to hear what went wrong for others so you can avoid making the same mistakes.
Yep. Okay. So I think those are good choices all the way around. The next thing I think that we should do in this episode is let's take a few minutes and explain to our listeners, especially our newer listeners, how our mobile ads platform actually works, what it does, how it benefits clients. How about you take that part, Hazel?
Mobile wallet campaigns are incredibly effective marketing collateral when you set them up correctly and implement them in a way that increases engagement with customers, prospects, referrals, and so on. In a nutshell, a mobile wallet campaign consists of a mobile wallet pass that's added to individual phones. iPhones use Apple Wallet, which is native iOS application. And Android phones use any of a number of third-party apps to achieve the same goals. The pass has two sides, the front and the back. The front of the pass is like a digital calling card. It normally has the name of your product or business, perhaps a tagline or logo, and should be styled to complement your existing logo and collateral. We can include a QR code and a barcode on the front of the pass if you're interested in tracking users via the passes, although the tracking default does not contain any personal information unless we have created a customized solution for you. The front of the pass should be designed to get someone's attention, colorful maybe, or with a unique tagline or similar. It requires a very simple, clean design since most phone screens are not that big. The back of the pass is where the magic happens, as I like to call it. And this is the area of the pass where you're really going to be able to get your message out there and include some very efficient calls to action that result in quantifiable results. The structure of the mobile wallet pass means that everything on the back that is formatted in a way that the phone recognizes, like a phone number, an address, a URL, a link to iTunes or YouTube, and so on. Those apps are actually launched when the user taps a link on the back of the pass. What that means in real terms is that if you're promoting your podcast, you can send your subscribers a lock screen notification, and they have the ability to tap the back links, and your podcast will start playing in the correct app, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or whatever. It also means that if you're a realtor, for instance, and you include the address of a property you're promoting, a prospective buyer can tap the address on the back of the pass, launch maps, complete with driving directions. Tap to call, tap to email, tap to launch social media apps like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and others. These are simply handled by the wallet app, and there's no coding or formatting involved. It really couldn't be any easier. Passes can be shared through a variety of means. The most popular method is including the pass URL as a link or in a print ad as a type in request using a browser. Other ways include the share function on the pass, having someone open Apple Wallet or scan the QR code directly, or even sending the pass via iMessages or email from the phone. Last but not least, the passes include location and proximity targeting features, which means that using the geofencing and location awareness that's built into smartphone offers you the ability to send lock screen notifications based on where someone is, as well as sending them time-based or what we like to call static messages. You've probably seen this at the airport if you're having a boarding pass in your Apple Wallet on iPhone, for instance. When you get close to the security screening checkpoint, the boarding pass automatically pops up on your lock screen, and you don't have to search for it or open the app or unlock the phone to see it. So there you have it, the 2-minute rundown on just what and how a mobile pass works, where it goes in the iPhone, and what it can do.
Okay, awesome. As usual, thank you for that. Okay, so now that the housekeeping is out of the way, let's get to the actual nuts and bolts of the episode.
Okay, perfect. Today, we're going to talk about how to craft a story that will help you engage with prospects, customers, and referrals, and how you can employ the story to generate more sales and better conversions.
Right, so everybody from Google to Ad Age to Forbes, which are just three top-of-the-mind examples, they spend a lot of time in their publications and in their articles and stuff talking about telling stories. Now, this is kind of a nebulous concept, and I know that it can become a bit of a daunting task for people who haven't done story-based marketing in the past. You know, they may not know where to start, how to create a story, you know, what actually helps to convince people to take the next step, which at some point, the next step is making a purchase.
Yes, the purchase. That is really the key factor here. It's impossible to run a successful business if no one is buying what you're selling. And for most businesses, there's a finite number of people who are in their target demographic.
Okay, so the first thing I want to bring up, since you mentioned target demographic, you know, business owners must identify their target demographics. And, you know, I use demographics plural because we don't believe that a business is only limited to a single group of people that might be buyers, you know, unless they're in a very, very niche or very, very specific market.
You mean like only people with babies are buying diapers?
Okay. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm not buying diapers anymore. That is a super good, you know, it's a perfect illustration of this point. Okay. So for the people who are selling diapers, I'm sure they have all worked and their marketing departments work very diligently to craft their stories. You know, I look at diaper ads in magazines and I think, Most of those stories revolve around one of two things when I think about it. They're either selling on price, or they're selling on how comfortable little Junior's going to be because he's wearing a particular brand of diapers. You know, there's definitely a story there for sure, and two divergent ways that that story can go.
Yeah, but not all businesses have that kind of clarity in marketing. So let's talk about the average coffee shop, the mom and pop kind that aren't Starbucks, and some other deep-pocketed national chain. The kind of place that's a single store trying to compete and forced to sell their coffee at a premium in order to pay the rent and their employees.
Okay, I'll play along. Let's talk about the coffee shop and let's craft a story for our fictitious coffee shop right now in this podcast.
All right, let's do it. First up, the demographic. It's our coffee shop, open all day, or just the morning lunchtime part of the day. I think we should have an all-day shop that others some interesting possibilities to branch out with the storytelling to cover a few demographics.
Okay, that's fine by me. So we've got a small shop, open all day. I'm going to assume that they have good coffee, decent pastries. Do they have like soup, sandwiches, lunch sort of stuff if they're going to try to run through the whole day? Or are they only serving coffee and pastries?
Well, there you go. The determination is going to be part of their story. Obviously, for the morning crowd, coffee and pastries is a must. What kind of coffee are they going to serve? Fair trade, small batch, crafted brews? What's the presentation look like? Is this a place with talented baristas who can make pictures out of the foam on top of your cappuccinos?
Okay, so what about the speed of our coffee shop, especially in the morning during commute hours? You know, how long does it take them to actually give you your coffee? You know, I've been to some Starbucks out there where you might as well pack your lunch because it takes them so long to get you your coffee. And it's not even necessarily because people are standing in line. You know, their new mobile order ahead and pay, God, that makes the traffic, the walk-in traffic at Starbucks, it takes even longer to get an order since, you know, now the onus is on the employees to make sure that the mobile orders are always ready to go out.
It's right. Crazy how many factors can go into creating a story. So our imaginary coffee shop is going to be quick to deliver, maybe not spending a lot of time on the frou-frou stuff like foam hearts and flowers on top. And they're going to have fair trade coffee from different places around the world.
Okay, let's go with that. So they're going to be open all day, but we'll deal with that later. Right now, let's just talk about the morning commuter demographic. And these are the folks who are stopping in on their way to work. And I don't mean the ones who are stopping in to set up their laptops and basically work from the place.
Right.
You know, these guys, they want like a nice cup of joe, a decent pastry, and they want to be out the door in less than 5 minutes.
The story here in this case is going to be, in my mind, all about convenience. Obviously, they aren't selling on price, since they can't be any cheaper than the chains, but they don't want to be a big deal, but they don't want to make a big deal about the price.
Okay.
So their story is literally about how you can get a great latte in less than 5 minutes, and you can help out others, the fair trade growers in the process.
Okay, so we've identified the demographic. Morning commuters, and the hook, which is tasty, environmentally friendly coffee in rapid time, short order, whatever you want to call it. So this is going to be the core of their story for the initial part of their day. And all of their marketing and advertising to this demographic should revolve around this core story.
So this is the kind of thing that when I think through their ad materials, they should be looking at using images of people growing coffee or just coffee beans growing or being processed. Organic in nature, muted in color and tone, and maybe with a transparent clock image superimposed on the pictures of the coffee on its journey to the store.
Okay, totally agree. They should be looking at using visually rich imagery. I think this is one of the places where social media marketing is probably a really good idea. I'm thinking Instagram, Pinterest, you know, maybe they can duplicate to Facebook if they want to, but I'm not seeing that as a big one.
Yeah, and it's also important to get people to review them on Google Maps, Yelp, etc. And to stress in their reviews how quickly the order was ready to go and how good the product was when they got it. You know, testimonials are a good idea, and they could be incorporated as well. The idea here is to get people talking, or at least thinking, about skipping the Starbucks and supporting a local business who supports other small business owners and creating social positives in the whole process.
Okay, so this is essentially catering to a fairly specific but not narrow demographic. The morning commuter who is not looking to go to Dunkin' Donuts or Circle K or the corner store.
Or Tim Hortons.
You know, Tim Hortons, yeah, double-double. But who appreciates a really nice product and wants to feel good about themselves because they are contributing to the overall good of the economy or the ecology or whatever.
Yeah, and if you combine that story with a mobile nudge, so to speak, then it gets even better. I'm seeing our coffee shop sending out a morning lock screen notification to the core customer group, letting people know what the featured brew is for the day, any sort of special pastries or breakfast items, reiterating the fact that it's quick, it's good, and it's environmentally friendly.
Okay, but I am also seeing our small mom and pop shop running a small loyalty or perhaps rewards program in this process as well. You know, they might be doing a punch card type setup where buy 9 pastries, get the 10th for free, something similar. You know, they're also suggesting to their current customer base that they can share the rewards with their like-minded friends.
Yes, that works. They are either sending a separate message out or they are incorporating the share feature on the back by suggesting it near the top of the space. I like it.
Okay, so the story here, it works. It enables customers to identify with the business. It makes them feel good about their purchases. And it's giving them the opportunity to support local business owners while they're also going to be in and out quickly and back on the road to get to their job.
I like it. We're going to run short on time here. So let's talk really quickly about other demographics the shop will have throughout the day.
Okay, so let's go back to the group we didn't talk about before, which were the setup shop and work from the coffee shop types. You know, okay. The self-employeds, creatives, people who need a place to meet and interact with friends or associates or, you know, whatever. So this group's story, in my mind, would be more about providing them exactly what they're looking for. You know, you're still going with the fair trade, you're still going with the quick serve, but somebody who's going to pull up a chair and stay a while, they don't necessarily care if the coffee comes in 5 minutes or 8 minutes.
Right. So they might care about these features like free Wi-Fi, clean restrooms, comfy seating, all that goes into the story for these people.
Okay. So that's a second demographic. Sure. And so the next demographic I would see for our fictitious mom and pop coffee shop would be the afternoon crowd. You know, the people who go in and get their 3 o'clock coffee and pastry as a pick-me-up. It's like after school, during an afternoon break at work, whatever.
Right. So they keep on leveraging the quality story, but they might add in a discount for a customer doing the same day second stop, like a 50% discount on a latte or some other profitable item, or a BOGO, like buy one, get one, with a medium cappuccino and a pastry type combo.
Okay, perfect. So they've sorted out these demographics, hopefully, and segmented them in their notification system from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, we have plenty of episodes and articles about how to do that. If you're listening and you're either curious or you don't understand the process, you can go back to the archives or do a search for what you might specifically want to know about, and you should get a ton of information back either from our mobilewalletmarketer.com site or you can go to our dominoresearch.com site to check out more podcasts.
Right. And last but not least, the late night demographic. Not trying to sound silly, but that coffee shop on Friends is what pops into mind. I mean, some sort of entertainment, maybe open mic poetry reading or acoustic music.
Oh, Phoebe.
Perhaps having a coffee tasting every couple of weeks or other simple events. Maybe they're bringing in some additional product and do a theme night or have a tea party type of thing. If they're also selling tea and maybe thinking about broadening their customer base.
Okay, so all things considered, I think what we're saying here is that the story has to be created to be specific to the situation. You cannot treat everyone as if they are identical clones and expect to be successful. I mean, it really just doesn't work. You know, there is not a one-size-fits-all story And you also have to be able to look beyond price to tell that story, because there's always going to be someone who can either afford to or will simply decide to sell more cheaply than our mom and pop store could.
Exactly. Stories aren't just born in a hot minute either. It's a good idea to sit down with a pad and paper, computer, whatever, and create an outline and then fill in the blanks. Then work outwards from there, adding the bits and parts to the story until you have something that you think will work.
Right, and then you refine it as you figure out which parts of your story people respond to and which ones they don't really care about. And in turn, you can identify which of your target demographics is really profitable and really helped your business, and you want to spend more time focusing on them than the other less profitable segments.
Yeah, it might turn out that keeping the coffee shop open past 3 p.m. is just a money-losing idea, and that the payroll and other costs aren't worth the effort since you can't generate enough in sales to make it worth the doing.
Wow. Okay, so we really are actually out of time here.
Okay.
But I'm super pleased with the information that we put together today. And, you know, if you're listening and I think if you're listening and you're still not sure how to get your story started and working properly, you can contact us directly through our dominoresearch.com website where we host these podcasts. Or you can go directly to our mobilewalletmarketer.com website, and there are plenty of ways to get a hold of us there, or if you want to see a demo of our ad platform, if you have questions, whatever.
Yeah, great. I think that's going to wrap up this episode. Have a great week, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with another new edition of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy.